Support for the Marketplace Morning Report podcast provided by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
We've seen this before, you know.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The panic in Boston yesterday is actually nothing new. Guerrilla marketing campaigns have scared the daylights out of people before. Just last year in Los Angeles, Paramount put little music boxes in newspaper racks to promote the movie Mission Impossible 3. Police officer Paul Vernon says that freaked out people as well.
When people opened the news racks to buy a paper, the theme song would go off. Well, the little box that played the music caused concern when people saw them. They thought that a bomb had been planted in newspaper racks. And again, another example of an ill-conceived campaign in this day and age.
In Boston, authorities are deciding whether to press charges against Turner Broadcasting for its campaign. The scary electronic devices found all over the city were promoting a late-night cable cartoon about a talking milkshake, a box of fries, and a meatball. You just can't make this stuff up. Well, the Fed left interest rates alone, and Wall Street liked it. The Dow put on 98 points to 12,621. The Nasdaq gained 15 to 2,436. The S&P 500 added 9 points. Stocks in Asia also rallied today, and oil prices are on the rise. They're close to $58 a barrel now. So much for U.S. Airways-Delta merger. U.S. Airways withdrew its $10 billion offer yesterday. Delta's firm stance against this deal is probably what killed it, as Steve Tripoli reports.
Delta may fly out of bankruptcy protection on its own this spring. Management and the pilots' union both say that's Delta's best path. The two airlines have lots of overlapping routes. U.S. Airways saw a chance to consolidate and save money. Analyst Michael Boyd of the Boyd Group says the other players saw it differently.
This was really a play to reduce competition. Nothing wrong with that, per se, from a parochial standpoint, but for the nation, it wouldn't have been good.
Delta chief Gerald Grinstein says his airline used bankruptcy to get stronger, like it's supposed to. The creditors committee backed that stand after much debate. U.S. Airways chief W. Douglas Parker says the committee didn't take the best deal. Michael Boyd disagrees.
Parker also said that it would have resulted in more choices for consumers and increased job security for employees. Wrong.
Boyd says regulators might have killed the buyout even if the creditors hadn't. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, working with Habitat for Humanity to build over 350 homes this year with families in need. On the web at thriventbuilds.com.
A study out this morning says the U.S. lags far behind other wealthy countries when it comes to family-oriented work policies. Sick leave, maternity leave, for example. We talked to one of the researchers on this, Jody Heyman at McGill University.
We have data on 173 countries. That's almost the entire world. 168 of those countries guarantee paid leave for women once they have a child. The only other countries besides the United States that don't have it, Lesotho, Liberia, Papua New Guinea, and Swaziland, that's it. No other industrialized countries, no other affluent countries are as far behind on this as the U.S.
And why is that the case?
It's an excellent question. Why it's the case, I don't think anybody really knows. There's some who would argue that we've had a private sector experiment in the United States to see if companies would voluntarily do this. And indeed, some excellent companies have, but not enough have. So the majority of Americans don't have paid maternity leave. It's been too hard for companies to offer it if the company down the street doesn't.
Okay, so we have the maternity issue. Where else is the U.S. falling short?
In the United States, if you get sick, you have no right to take off time from work. We send people to work sick with the flu, with infections that spread to others. People lose their jobs over it. They lose their pay. But in 145 countries around the world, you get paid leave for short or long-term illnesses. 127 of these give a week or more a year. 137 countries offer paid annual leave, 121 of those 2 weeks or more. You put this all together, the overwhelming majority of the world does have at least 3 weeks annual leave and sick leave combined. The United States has not one day paid.
Now, we're talking here about federal law. How much are states picking up the slack, and how much is the private sector picking up the slack?
Let's take sick leave as an example. About half the states have legislation to try to pass paid sick leave. In fact, the only state that right now has it is California. So most of the country doesn't have it by state policy yet. Is the private sector picking up the slack? Not enough, unfortunately. Half of middle-class Americans can't rely on paid sick leave. They have it some of the time. They have other jobs where they don't have it. Three-quarters of low-income Americans can't rely on paid sick leave.
So any countries stand out to you in this report?
Switzerland, Finland, Sweden, they all have far better policies in these areas. Just to give examples on the paid sick leave, Switzerland, you can have up to 2 years if you include sort of a disability insurance plus what companies give. Looking at maternity, you'd see it across those countries. Looking at the most competitive economies, they're able to do it and able to provide these benefits.
Okay, Jody, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Jody Heyman is director of the McGill Institute for Health and Social Policy. Maybe you've heard about Second Life. It's the online virtual world created by the people who play it. Well, there's a new site called getafirstlife.com. Quite obviously a spoof. Its creators were expecting a legal battle from Second Life, but it hasn't come. Janet Babin reports from our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
The parody site was ready for action. It put up a link for cease and desist type letters on its website in case Second Life came calling. But instead, the virtual games producers Linden Labs got the joke. They shot back that all Linden staffers have a sense of humor, even the lawyers. Courts in recent years have generally allowed parodies. Still, some companies like Apple ferociously defend trademarks. But Cardozo law professor Justin Hughes says what firms give up in brand control, they often get back in exposure.
We are going to get to a place where rights holders and their lawyers have a little bit of a sense of humor, and courts are increasingly telling them, get a sense of humor.
In its letter, Linden did license its logo to get a First Life Pranksters. If the company had let use of its trademark slide, it could have ended up losing it. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.